Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
Well, I want to get right into the Word, and if you, I hope you have your Bibles with you. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to go ahead and encourage you, just to save us a little bit of time. Go ahead and open up to the Gospel of John, John chapter 2, John chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Just get there in your Bibles and just get parked there, and we'll take off here in just a minute, just a minute. But the title of my message today is really a phrase that the Lord put upon my heart earlier in the week, praying for this service today and just asking God what He would want to say to us. And there's a phrase, and you'll know why in just a minute when I get into those passages, but here's the phrase: when something is over, something better is coming. When something is over, something better is coming. Now, I'm telling you, as I stand before you today and stand before God, I truly believe this is what God wants to say to us today. There's somebody here today that needs to receive that phrase and it's this word, that when something is over, something better is coming. Something better is coming. I thought about this phrase here. I've been thinking about it all week long according to how it relates to these passages I'm about to share with you. But I thought about it. We never like it when a good thing ends. We never like it when a good thing ends. Now, we don't mind when a bad thing's over, but we don't like it when a good thing is over. I experienced that this week in my own life. Thursday, Lisa and I, we had a, what you call, instead of a date night, we had a date day. We had a date day. We had the best time. We had a wonderful time. The boys weren't with us. And we had a... I didn't mean for it to sound quite like that, but we had a great time, and we just spent the whole day together, and we were up in Raleigh most of the day, and the reason why we were really in the Raleigh area is because somebody had given us a gift card to this really nice restaurant in Raleigh, and so we had a good time all day together, and then in the evening, we went to that restaurant, and we sat down to eat, and you know, man... The food was so delicious. I mean, it was some of the best food I have ever had. I was trying to just slow down and savor every little bite. I didn't want that meal to be over. But then I thought about the phrase, when something's over, something better is coming. And God is my witness. When you walk out the front door of this restaurant, right across the street, is this right here. God is my witness. And we walk out. When something is over, something better is coming. And as you can see, my wife is right there. She's on mission right now in that picture. And we walked out of that door, and there's that Krispy Kreme sign, and the hot light was on. And I said, Lisa, don't go over there. And she didn't even use the crosswalk. She walked right through the traffic. And I said, Lisa, don't go in. And then she went in. And I said, Lisa, don't get but one donut. And she comes out with 12. When something's over, something better's coming. And I witnessed that this week. But I want to encourage you from God's word. Even from the Word of God, you can see all through the Scriptures when something is over, something better is coming. And we see that in the very first miracle that Jesus performed that is recorded in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. It's the miracle there at the wedding in Cana. And that first miracle encourages us and reminds us, don't miss this, that the Lord, He cares about us. He cares about us. And He wants us to experience His miracles in our everyday life. Big miracles, small miracles, it don't matter the size. They all come from the Lord. And He wants us to know that through this passage here, that we're cared about, we're cared for, he's concerned with us, and he wants us to experience miracles in our daily lives. How many of you, let me ask you this question. How many of you showed up this morning and you need a miracle in your life? You need a miracle. You know some situations in your life, or maybe your family, somebody in your family needs a miracle. How many of you have some things that need to be changed in your life? Some big things, some small things that need to be changed. Listen, I could tell you right now, many of us, including myself, have been praying and seeking the Lord for change, seeking the Lord, praying for a miracle. And I want to just take the next few minutes and talk to you about how we can see our answers to our prayers. I want us to talk about how we can see Jesus turning things around in our life. I want you to see this morning how we can have hope with Jesus Christ, that when something is over, something better is coming. So in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, let me read this to you. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother, Mary, was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. And when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." And Jesus replied, "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" He replied, Jesus said, "And my time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." And nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. And then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine, and he did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. And then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, but you have saved the best until now." This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. This is the very first miracle Jesus ever did, and it's a reminder that when something is over, something better is coming. John recorded this first miracle to remind us that Jesus can turn things around, that he can turn the natural into supernatural. And we all, every single one of us, we have a desire to see God and his supernatural power, his supernatural glory at work in our lives. Don't you desire that? I know I do. I want to see God's miraculous power at work in my life every day. And we can see here in this passage, the very first thing I want you to notice, if we're going to experience the power of God at work in our life, the very first thing we need to do is we need to invite Jesus into our life. We need to invite Jesus into our life. Listen to what verse 2 says. Mary, Jesus' mother, she was already there. Most people believe that it was a family connection to the wedding party. That was the reason she was there. But then it says that Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. How does this miracle happen? It happens because Jesus was invited to the wedding. No Jesus, no miracle. No Jesus, no miracle. No Jesus, no miracle. Jesus is the miracle worker. And we see here that he was invited to the wedding. And it encourages all of us that we need to invite Jesus into our life. You need to invite Jesus into your life to be your Savior. That's the most important decision that you will ever make in your life. You need to invite him in to be your Savior, but you also need to invite Jesus in to be Lord of your life. Lord of your life. God, help us to do that, because when you invite Jesus in to be your Savior and to be your Lord, I promise you one thing, you can take it to the bank. He will show up in your life. He will show up. Jesus always comes to where he's invited. Why? Because he loves you. He cares for you. He's concerned about you. He wants to help you. He shows up to the wedding because he was invited. Jesus is going to respond to us by invitation. He's not going to force his way into your life. He's not going to force his way in. He's only going to come in by invitation. Romans 10:13 says this right here. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That word call, that's an invitation for Jesus to be invited into your life. Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, there's an invitation for Jesus to come in. He says, I will come in and eat with him and dine with him and he with me. There'll be a place of fellowship when you invite Jesus in. I want you to see this. The very first step in experiencing your miracle is inviting Jesus into your life. Listen, you may have walked in this morning, or you may be on the live stream watching today, and you are living in sin, and you need to be saved from your sins. My encouragement would be to you right now, invite Jesus in to save you. Amen. Invite Jesus in to rescue you from your sins. You may be here today and you need healing in your body. Invite Jesus in. He is the healer. You may be here today and you need deliverance. You may be watching and you're in chains today to some kind of bondage. Invite Jesus in. He is the deliverer. Amen. You may need provision in your life. Invite Jesus in. You may need some peace today, some joy today, some hope today, strength today. Invite Jesus in. Listen, things may be a mess in your life right now. Things may be a mess at your home. They may be a mess at your work. All I can say is, if it's a mess, the best thing you can do is stop and invite Jesus in. Amen. Invite Jesus into every need that you have. And when you invite Jesus in, don't miss this, because here's what's going to get hard for us. When you invite Jesus in, what you're doing is you're giving him control over your life. And I got a feeling that we're probably in a room today with some control freaks. Don't raise your hand if you're a control freak. What is a control freak? You want to run things, you want to fix things, you want to handle things, you want to do it all on your own. And all of us at times, we're guilty of that. But God, listen, don't miss this. We're not called. God has not called us to have control. He's not called us to comprehend everything. What God has called us to do is to surrender our life and to trust him that he is in control of everything. That's what you're called to. You're not called to be the one in control. God is the one in control. And that's hard for us at times, especially for us that like to have our hands on it, and we think we can fix it and do better. We think that we can fix it and we can handle it even better than God. But I want you to listen to the word of the Lord today. To anyone that is here today and you have been running around and you've been trying to handle things, fix things, run things, control things, today God's word is for you. Move out of the way, put Jesus in the driver's seat, let him take control of your life. Hallelujah. God, let it be so today. Full control over your life. I wrote this prayer last night. I said, you know what? I'm going to pray it right now. I'm deciding today that I'm going to invite Jesus into my life. I pray that he'll be the one to control me. He'll be the one to fix the things, handle the things, run the things, and control the things in my life. And that's what you need to pray in your life. And listen, it's easy to do sometimes, and then sometimes we get so caught up in our everyday living that that spirit of control wants to rise up, and we want to grab it again, and we want to take it again, and we want to try to run it. And you know what? When I try to run it, you know where I run it at? I run it right in the ditch. So I'm going to say, you know what? In this very moment, I'm stopping right now and I'm praying. I am deciding right now, in this moment, in this situation, I'm not going to try to handle it. I'm not going to try to fix it. I'm not going to try to run it or control it. Jesus, I'm giving it to you. I'm inviting you in. And I promise you, you'll have a better outcome. So make sure that when you invite Jesus in, you'll know that he's there. He always shows up to where he's invited, and he always changes things. I want you to notice the second thing here. To experience your miracle, you need to share your need with Jesus. I know this sounds so simple, but Mary said, Jesus, they're out of wine. She shared the need. And in that culture of that day, now don't miss this, a wedding celebration was a massive social event. Those weddings in that culture would last anywhere from 3 to 7 days. Can you imagine having to pay for that? 3 to 7 days. And it would be a social disaster and disappointment to everyone, especially to the wedding party, if they ran out of supplies for the guest. And running out of wine and running out of any other supplies would have brought shame and embarrassment on the family that was hosting the wedding. And I'm sure they put a whole lot of planning into that wedding event for those many days. But let me go ahead and tell you, friend, as much as they planned a wedding, but the unexpected happened. They ran out of wine. They ran out of wine. Now, I have officiated some beautiful weddings in my lifetime, but I have never officiated a perfect wedding. You can plan all you want to, but always the unexpected happens. In fact, I was thinking about it when I was reading through this story here in John chapter 2. I thought about some of the weddings that I've done, and I ought to write a book. I can tell you that right now. I thought about how the unexpected happens. It brought to my attention a wedding I did not too long ago, and the wedding was in one venue, and they had the wedding ceremony on one side, and they had the food set up on the other side. So when the wedding was over, they could just walk right over into the reception, and we did the ceremony, beautiful wedding. They were up there taking photos. I stepped back into where the food area was, and I noticed that the wedding cake was starting to lean a little bit. It was leaning, and it looked like the leaning tower of Pisa was, and it started leaning a little bit more. And not only did I notice it, but other people noticed it as well. And then it started to kind of almost give way and fall over. Well, by this time, they brought the cake lady in, and she comes in. And I'm not much on baking cakes and catering. But when she came in, she said, "It's not supposed to do that." I said, "That's what I was thinking, you know." But the cake collapsed. But you know what? It was a beautiful wedding. And I'm thinking, man, if I'm getting married and the wedding cake collapses, is that a sign? I got one a little bit better for you than that. Had a wedding I did it's been a couple of years ago now. And in that wedding, I was sharing the vows to the bride and the groom. And when the bride repeated her vows, someone stood up in the wedding and said, "Sir," I didn't hear her say, "I do." And I said, "Well, sir, I can assure you," she said, "I do." And then I thought, I have got to be on candid camera. I'm on candid camera. I know I am. You see, you can plan all you want to, but the unexpected happens. Come on, you talk to me. Isn't that what life is really like? Life is just like that. Life is like that. Life is like that. You plan things, but they don't always go as you expected. That's life at times. And we can plan how things are going to work out a certain way, but the unexpected happens. For instance, you can, instead of growing old in the golden years, your spouse may be bedridden by a sickness. Instead of enjoying a sunrise or a sunset at the beach and spending time with your loved one doing things like that, you may be in a clinic and someone's getting chemo and radiation. Instead of enjoying special seasons in life where family and with family and friends, tragedy has suddenly taken the life of someone that is so dear and so close to you. Instead of a happy marriage, it ends in divorce. And instead of great achievements in life, it's now a great addiction that has your loved one in chains. Instead of a dream job, it's now you have no job. Sometimes life doesn't go the way we planned it. Can I get an amen? Amen. We encounter those things, trials and troubles and disappointments and setbacks and as we journey through this life. So what do we do? What do we do when those things happen to us that are unexpected? What do we do, and what do we do when things don't go as planned? I know it sounds simple, but listen, what do? You just stop, and you invite Jesus in, and you share with him your needs. What is your need today? I want to just tell you, give it to Jesus. And please hear me, because God put this on my heart. Don't be ashamed of your need. There was a chance here that this family would be embarrassed and shame would be on them because of what happened in that culture. And I thought about it. We walk around with these needs in our life, and for some reason we allow the enemy to attach an embarrassment or a shame to it. But you don't have to be embarrassed. You don't have to be ashamed, because if you take it to Jesus, there's no condemnation in Christ. There's no shame in Christ. You can take it right to him, and you can give it all to him. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Give it to the Lord. I don't care how big or how small it is. You give it to Jesus. He's the only one that can change it. And you may have walked in this morning and you are frightened by what you're walking through. I would tell you, share it with Jesus. Maybe you're worried about something. Share it with Jesus. Maybe you're stressed about something. Share it with Jesus. Maybe you're lacking peace right now. Share it with Jesus. Maybe you're lacking provision in your life right now. Share it with Jesus. Whatever the needs are in your life, you need to give it to the Lord. Share it with the Lord. The Bible says, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. He cares for you. What do you need the Lord to do in your life right now? What's the need in your life? Need for deliverance, need for salvation, a need for wisdom, a need for peace, a need for the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Whatever the need is, you need to share it with Jesus. Do you remember when Jesus had the encounter with the blind man? And Jesus says, what is it that you want me to do for you? And he says, I want to be able to see. And he shared his need with Jesus. And when he did, Jesus healed his eyes because he shared his need. And in Philippians 4:19, it says that God will meet all your needs. Say all. God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Share it with Jesus, because when you give it to the Lord, you can have the promise that when something is over, something better is coming. Just follow along with me. We're almost there. I want you to notice, for miracles to happen in your life, they happen through our obedience to Christ. In John 2, verse 5, it says that Mary said to the servants, do whatever Jesus tells you. That's a good word right there. Do whatever Jesus tells you. Do whatever Jesus tells you. The answer, the miracle that you need in your life, it may come through your obedience to the Lord. Praying about this passage here, this one verse, the Lord reminded me that when we obey Jesus, when you do whatever the Lord tells you to do, that puts you right in the middle of God's miracles. Think about the servants. Everybody else missed out on the miracle, but the servants, they obeyed everything Jesus told them to do, and they were right there in the middle of the miracle. I don't know about you, but I want to be right there in the middle of the miracle. And it happened through their obedience. Jesus said to the servants, fill all 6 stone jars with water. Now, if I would have been there, I'm just saying, if I'd have been there, I'd have been like, did you say water? Because we don't need water. They need wine. We got plenty of water. But the servants, they didn't even question Jesus. They didn't question him at all. Instead of questioning Jesus, they obeyed Jesus even when it made no sense. How many of you know sometimes following the Lord, he'll ask you to do some things that don't make no sense? Anybody wave at me? Do you know that? But when he asks you to do something that doesn't make any sense, you still need to do it. The Lord told Isaiah, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. You may have come in here today at Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church, and the Lord may be telling you to do something in your life right now that doesn't make sense to you. He may be telling you to go to a person and apologize and make an amends with them, even when it was probably the other party's fault, but God is asking you to take that first step. God may be speaking to you about getting on a plane and going to another country. Carson's getting ready to do that in a few weeks, to go be a missionary in Colombia. God may be speaking to you about doing some things that make no sense. You might be down to your last dollar, and God is speaking to you about providing a meal for somebody who may be without food. It don't make any sense. God might be speaking to you about you, hey, the introvert. God wants you to start the Bible school, the Bible study at your work or at your school. God may be speaking to you about being a witness to someone or sharing your testimony to people. Whatever Jesus is telling you, even if it doesn't make sense, you just need to do it. God told Joshua and his army to march around the walls of Jericho. It made no sense, but the walls came down and they took the victory. Think about that. Jesus told the people at the grave of Lazarus, hey, roll that stone away. That don't make any sense. But they rolled the stone away, and because even when it made no sense, a dead man came walking out of the grave. Do whatever Jesus tells you, because your obedience places you right in the middle of the miracle. And your obedience could be the key to unlocking the prayers in your life. Do whatever Jesus tells you. And finally, and y'all probably are saying, thank you, Jesus. Make sure you give Jesus praise and you give him glory for the miracle. Come on. Listen, he's the one that's done it, not you. Give God all the praise and give God all the glory. Man, I'm telling you right now, I sat across at that table on Thursday and spent a beautiful day with a beautiful lady with such a beautiful heart, and just began to praise God for all that he's doing in our life and for all that he's done. And I was just overcome with the goodness of God and just praising the Lord and thanking him for his faithfulness and bringing us through some hard seasons and bringing us through. But look what God can do. I say, praise your holy name, Jesus, and thank you for your goodness and thank you for your faithfulness. And but we need to make sure we give Jesus the praise and glory for the miracle. The master of the banquet said, you have saved the best wine for last. And we need to praise Jesus that the best is yet to come. We need to praise Jesus when something is over, something better is coming. You need to praise Jesus that with him, he has more. He has more. There was an abundance of not cheap wine, but choice wine. There was more. And with Jesus, there's more grace. There's more mercy. There's more joy. There's more power. There's more that we can experience in our life. With Jesus, there's always more. I don't care what he did last year. I don't care what he did last month. I don't care what he did yesterday. Today, there's more with Jesus Christ. The Bible says he's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Praise Jesus. That when something is over, something better is coming. If the praise team would come, please. You guys, go ahead and get in place, because I'm getting ready to ask you to do something for me here, because I truly believe that some people are here this morning, and you're in that place where you need God to do something better. Some things have ended for you. Some things have ended for you. And you've kind of been in that place right there. That's all you can think about. That's all you can see. That's all you can feel. That's been your experience. But God is saying to you that now that it's over, something better is coming. And I just, my prayer was, and I wrote them all down last night. I turned this whole message into a prayer. And I'm like, Lord, how would you want us to pray that and just say, God, if there's anybody there that's ready to enter into a better season than where they've been, some things are over now, that they would be willing to just receive it into their life. They'll be ready to receive it. And I don't know what you've walked in here with this morning. I don't know where you are right now in your life, but I know God knows. And he's able. He's able. So what is your need today? Maybe your need is salvation. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The very first thing you have to do, friend, listen to me, is invite Jesus in. Not just come to church. That's really the whole story here. It's doing away with an old religion, and something better, something new has come. And it's never going to change for you until you make the decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And friend, we all need Jesus. We don't need Jesus to make us feel good and feel better. We need Jesus because we're sinners and we need to be forgiven of our sin. He's our Savior. And he's the only one that can save your soul. You can't work at it. You can't be good enough. You can't merit enough favor with him. It all stops right there. Jesus paid the price in full for us. Aren't you thankful for that? He shed his blood. Hallelujah. You walked in here today and you feel hopeless because of where you are in your life, maybe because you've been living in sin. I want to just tell you, friend, it can all change today. Jesus can turn it all around today if you'll just make that decision to follow Him. Surrender your life to Him. Maybe your need today is a miracle. Maybe your need today is a burden that you've been carrying in your life for so long. Maybe today is just you're consumed with worry and fear. That is not of the Lord. And you need to invite Jesus in. Share the need with Him. And do whatever He tells you to do, even if it doesn't make sense. And give Him the praise and give Him the glory. Give Him the praise and give Him the glory. Even when the unexpected happens in your life, give Him the praise and give Him the glory. I want you to do me a favor. Everyone in here, would you just bow your heads and close your eyes and just begin to pray right now and ask God to speak to your heart. Nobody looking around. Nobody looking around. Just be very prayerful, very reverent. If you're here this morning, and the very first thing I want to ask you is if you need to make a decision to put your faith in Jesus Christ to be your Lord, to be your Savior, to forgive you of your sins so you can have that assurance that heaven is in your future and you can begin to walk in abundant life that Jesus has already promised, even right now on this earth, that will continue on into eternity. And you've never made that decision, but you'd like to right now. You'd like to put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. You'd like to invite Him in. I want you to do me a favor. Nobody looking around, just me, you, and the Lord. Would you raise your hand so I'll know how to pray? Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to make that decision today. If it's just one of you right now, that I want to rededicate my life, I want to surrender afresh to Jesus Christ to be my Lord and to be my Savior. Would you be bold enough right now to say, that's me? That's me. And I want you to pray for me. Just a few more seconds. Just a few more seconds. Praise God. Praise God. Just keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. If there's anyone here right now, and the unexpected has happened to you, and some things have ended for you, and you've been stuck in that place, but right now God has told you that, you know what? When something is over, something better is coming. And you're ready. You're ready to walk into that better season. You're ready to walk into that better experience, that better life that God has planned for you. And you're tired of staying stuck in that one place. And you're ready to receive this better that God has for you. I want you just to do me a favor and lift your hand and say, that's me right now. Would you pray for me? God bless you. 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 I want everybody to do me a favor, and I want everyone to stand right now, please. Just stand all over this place. Here's what I want you to do. If you're here this morning and you need something, God, to do something better, you're ready to walk into that better season right now, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, relationally, whatever it may be. You're ready to receive it into your life right now. Or maybe you're here and you need a miracle right now and you want to invite Jesus in and you want to just share what that need is with Him. I'm asking you, if you will, step out and make your way to the altar right now. Would you obey the Lord? Do what the Lord tells you to do. There's one coming. There's another one coming. Would you obey the Lord? Come on, maybe you need God to do something, a supernatural work in your life. Would you come? Would you come to the altar? Just find you a place here at the altar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm trusting something better. I'm trusting something better. This season is over. Something has ended. Something has ended, and I know something better is coming, and I'm ready to receive it right now over my family, over my life, over my body, over everything, over everything. People are still coming. Yes, God. I want you to do me a favor, all of you, if you will. Just hold your hands up to the Lord right here, even if you're not at the altar. Every one of us. And let's just begin to pray right now. And just make your prayer this. I'm deciding today to invite you, Jesus, in. And I'm going to share every situation, everything, God. I'm giving you full control. And I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do, God. I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. And I'm going to praise you through this season, God. I'm going to praise you right into something better, something better, something better. I'm ready to receive it right now, Lord, over my life. God, I pray in the name of Jesus over everyone around this altar now, everyone in this church, God. Lord, I declare over them, God, Lord, that something is over and now something better is coming. I declare it over their lives.